We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Curtis Patrick of the Dynasty Command Center podcast. And before we get into episode 36, I just want to encourage you to use our special promo code for Yahoo Daily Fantasy Sports. You can use the code VIZ25 and you'll get $25 for free to compete in all their great GPPs and cash games. That's VIZ25 over at Yahoo DFS. Now let's dive into episode 36, where you're going to hear us talk about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Cooper Kupp.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast, home of the biggest edge in Dynasty Fantasy Football. My name is Travis May, and I'm the Debbie Coordinator at RotoViz, and I'm joined by Curtis Patrick, who is the Dynasty Coordinator at RotoViz. We're talking about some busy receiver rooms this week with the Buccaneers, the Rams, and we might add a little bit of flair here and there with some other teams too, but Curtis, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling the midseason grind a little bit, but it's not because it's really not because of the football. It's because of the other stuff going on in life. You know, travel ball with my son. It's almost tournament time, so we got that going on. And I think I've talked about on Twitter now and again. We're building a house. We're going to be moving right before the holidays, and so things are kind of ramping up with that as well. So I'm kind of burning it. From every angle, but it's fun. I mean, I'm an adrenaline junkie, and so I'm just trading sleep for production right now.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Mid-season, like I about this time every single year, I start to look at the clock at night, and I'm like, what am I doing? Or in the morning, like I'm just grinding to try to finish something before work, and just to get one of two weekly pieces out, or the podcast, or whatever it is, and. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's just kind of something to do outside of work and knock it out and get some good content up there for some people to freak out over, hopefully, when it comes to these wide receivers. But, man, I was just building some things with some of the apps on RotoViz and just making some pivot tables and looking at some of the production this year. It's crazy. We were talking about this before the show, but the receiving production is just so bizarre this year. So many players that we thought that were going to be absolute studs have been kind of strange disappointments. Others that we thought were going to take off really did that, but in just a crazy, just unparalleled way that we didn't see coming. And a couple examples of that are like we were talking about the Bucks and the Rams, Chris Godwin versus Evans. Like I remember seeing the Chris Godwin over Mike Evans takes in the preseason. And right now, that's looking like, well, so far that's correct. And then there's, you know, like Cooper Kupp going off and having the most targets in the entire NFL. Like, and guys like Devontae Adams having zero touchdowns, OBJ and trade talks. Like, it's just things that we didn't see coming. I feel like that happens every year, but this year it just feels like more than ever, the wide receiver production is flat just across the board. So let's dive into the Buccaneers first before we try to cover everything. I know you've got some numbers here that we're going to kind of break down, but where do you want to just start with the Bucs? Because obviously Mike Evans isn't week to week looking like the Mike Evans that we're used to. So between the two, like which one's more surprising? Mike Evans not being as impressive as we want him to, or Chris Godwin being like the wide receiver, basically the top wide receiver in the league right now almost.
Yeah, Godwin actually, he's PPR
number
wide
one
receiver one through yeah. 5 weeks. He is. So yeah, there's no basically about it. I mean, he's at the top of the heap, and we're basically a third. We are basically a third of the way through the fantasy season. So I think Godwin definitely the surprise. I mean, if you just look at the raw scoring through 5 weeks, you know, the receiving position generally is one that, you know, you're not fully insulated from the ups and downs, you know, from week to week. And Mike Evans is PPR wide receiver 14. Now, it's been a heck of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But you would sign up for wide receiver 14 through week five with Mike Evans with where you drafted him. Chris Godwin, however, wide receiver one overall, I don't even think that his biggest stands would have predicted this through 5 weeks. And so let's just see how each of these guys is kind of comparing in some of our major metrics over at RotoViz just to the rest of the league. And then we'll compare their opportunity production to each other, kind of try to make some sense of this, what's happened year to date, and how we might, you know, rank these players against each other for dynasty purposes moving forward. So Mike Evans, 21st in the NFL in targets, you know, so 21st in targets, 14th in PPR scoring. His expected points per game ranks 22nd at the position, and he's actually a little bit less efficient than you would like, actually scoring at a rate of wide receiver 32 in terms of his fantasy points over expectation per game. However, Godwin, totally other end of the spectrum thanks to some touchdowns. I think you said he scored, what, six touchdowns already?
Six touchdowns and, in five games. So ridiculous pace.
Yeah, I mean, so, man, if he keeps that up, watch out. But he's actually number two in fantasy points over expectation per game, ranks 11th in the NFL in targets, fifth in receptions, third in receiving yards. He's first among receivers in those touchdowns, ranks 10th in air yards. One area where Mike Evans does outrank Chris Godwin is still the air yards. Mike Evans is first in the NFL at the wide receiver position in air yards. So the downfield threat. Yeah, the downfield. So, okay, yeah, what's crazy is, I mean, we probably should have seen, you know, we knew that the air yards were going to come for the Buccaneers offense. This is what Bruce Arians has done his whole career. I probably would have faded the idea that two receivers would be a top 10 in air yards in that offense, and that two of these receivers would rank in the top 14 for PPR purposes. So I think, you know, when you kind of look at where these guys are ranking, the first thing I would say is, you know, maybe these worried Evans owners maybe just have a little bit of patience here. I think over the course of the season, this balances out. But he does look like, you know, the more volatile option because of the relative lack of targets as compared to Godwin and the downfield. I think you said he's catching something like 80% of his balls right now. But, you know, if he remains first in the NFL in air yards, he's not going to catch 80% of his targets the rest of the year.
Well, yeah. Godwin's the one that, he was the one that is catching about over 75% of his targets. So he's 42 targets, 33 receptions. What's crazy about Godwin is his touchdown percentage. Like, I mean, six touchdowns on 33 catches. You know, you compare that to somebody that we'll probably get to shortly, like Robert Woods. Robert Woods has 31 catches and zero touchdowns. So it's just the complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So it's crazy to see how much he's scoring above expectation. Like you mentioned, that fantasy points over expectation being number two out of all the players that have caught a reception at the wide receiver position. That's crazy. I think that speaks to the fact that he's probably going to come down to earth a little bit in the near future, just because, you know, he could still be a wide receiver one, but man, he's going at a clip that's pretty unsustainable.
Yeah, I'll definitely take the under on him finishing the season as a wide receiver one, but yeah. That's a pretty easy position to take.
Yeah.
So I think the takeaway here, you know, just when looking at these guys versus the rest of the league is this offense has done a remarkable job of creating production for the wide receivers. I think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, both very attractive dynasty assets. We will go ahead and let listeners know where we're going to rank these guys toward the end of the episode, but let's compare them to each other in terms of how we think that might stack up the rest of the year. And I want to look at targets each week. And I also want to look at the expected fantasy points first, though. If you look at Evans, I mean, it's literally basically his chart looks like a mountain. I'm using the weekly Stat Explorer. You know, he peaked in week three, obviously, and that was his huge week. But it's been a rocky ride. I mean, against San Francisco, just 7.3 expected fantasy points. He's got a pair of games between 11 and 13. He had the big, huge week against the Giants with almost 40 expected fantasy points. And then against New Orleans, you know, under 10 again with just six. Godwin, much more stable. Four of his five games with over 13 expected fantasy points. You know, that is going to lead to that steady production that you want to see from that position.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost inverted when looking at their targets and where they're being distributed. And I would love to just I haven't dug into much of the All-22 like I typically like to do, but I'd love to see just where the coverage is shifting, like who they're adjusting for now. Like, because knowing that they're both fully capable of just absolutely taking over games moving forward down the stretch, I wonder how teams will kind of weight their coverage or shadow if they have a guy that tends to shadow with the wide receiver one option going down the stretch, because they've been complete polar opposites. So it's almost like teams are kind of correcting for what they see that the Buccaneers doing one week. They're thinking, oh, this week I need to cover Godwin. Oh, this week I need to cover Mike Evans. But in the end, they're only four targets. Only four targets are separating the two in terms of overall opportunity and air yards. I mean, Mike Evans is actually ahead. So it leads me to believe that as Evans sees some more some more of those targets hit, I mean, he's got like a 47% catch rate right now, which is, that's bad for even Ted Ginn. So I don't think that's going to, I don't think that's going to hold up. So I think he's a major, major bounce back candidate. Cause I mean, I don't think when we came into the season, we'd think, oh, you know what? I think Greg Olsen, Marvin Jones, Deontay Johnson, and Gerald Everett are going to have the same amount of catches as Mike Evans through 5 weeks. But that's what we're looking at right now. Trey Quinn, Nyheim Hines, all those guys have the same amount of catches as Mike Evans right now. So we're looking at a situation where there should be some major positive regression just based on those air yards. So I'm all about buying Mike Evans and still ranking him over Chris Godwin in Dynasty right now, probably. I don't know. We might have to get to that later on in the show, but I don't know. It's hard for me to just completely fade what Evans has done just looking at a 5 week sample this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, with a 5 year history of five straight seasons with 1,000 yards, one of the most productive early career receivers in NFL history, and Godwin slower to break out, but role is everything. I want to go back to the expected points profiles that we were talking about on both of these players real quick, and it really does show up in the weekly scoring consistency. Just a reminder, you know, Godwin was much more level there, and he has just one game under 14 PPR. And even in that game, he still scored seven. So he didn't kill your week. He gave you something. And he's been a wide receiver one in three out of 5 weeks. And in two of those weeks, he was over 30 PPR. I mean, basically won your week for you. Evans has two wide receiver one weeks, but then he has two complete duds. He's got two games with less than five PPR, including last week's goose egg against the Saints. And so I don't know if that – that trend may not even change. But Evan's certainly going to have some ridiculous breakout games when those deep bombs do hit for him. So yeah, we'll go through the exercise of ranking them against each other and in the overall dynasty rankings at the end of the episode. But let's hear from our friends at Axios.
Following a team you love in 2019, that it can be time consuming and it can be heartbreaking if you're a Titans fan like me. I mean, trying to follow everything that's happening in sports is almost impossible. But you know, I find myself just scrolling through every app and visiting multiple sites, basically on a daily basis, and so it's nearly impossible. But that's why I subscribe to Axios Sports, the best free daily newsletter in the land. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and NFL to cricket and ping pong and everything in between. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up, and it's free. It's just sports.axios.com. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the friend sharing an amazing link with your buddies. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even begins. And the best of all, there's no paywall, there's no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. So sign up at sports.axios.com. Again, try for free at sports.axios.com.
Okay, Travis, let's go from the southeast to the left coast. We got to talk about Cooper Kupp, man. What a success story for the Rams coming off the ACL tear. This guy reportedly running even faster, a full mile an hour faster than he did before the injury. You love to see it. You just love to see it. Such a likable guy. He's first in the NFL in targets, man. Cooper freaking Kupp is first in the NFL in targets. He's pacing for something like 200 targets this year. He's PPR wide receiver 3, despite having a ridiculously low ADOT. He ranks just 20th in air yards despite being first in targets. You know, it's a fun story. He's basically like hyper efficient touchdown scoring version of Jarvis Landry in a Sean McVay offense. And it's been, you know, fantasy goodness. And I want to talk about his ridiculous weekly consistency in terms of his targets. And I want to get some of your thoughts on Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks before we see where he lands. But Cooper Kupp has not had less than 9 targets in any of the 5 games this year. He has more than 10 targets in 4 out of the 5 and 2 games with 15 or more targets. I mean, it's just pure fantasy gold, man. There's no other way to say it. What did you think? I mean, in your wildest dreams, I mean, what was Cooper Kupp's like ceiling this year? I mean, like, you know, wide receiver 14 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like I was going to say off the top of my head, I was going to say wide receiver 15. Somewhere like a decent wide receiver 2, but probably not at all. Zero possibility for him to be a wide receiver 1 or like just trustworthy week-to-week wide receiver 1 option on my roster. But the crazy part is that he's not only that, he's actually looking at some of the just next-level stats. He's underperforming and still like in terms of expectation, given his target load and everything like that. And he's still the wide receiver 3 overall. That just blows my mind.
We talked about expected points. He ranks first among all wide receivers in expected points per game. Most valuable role at the wide receiver position in the NFL through 5 weeks.
Yeah. But his fantasy points over expectation, he's 35th. So he's there's a major gap there in terms of expectation. I mean, he's number 1 in targets, 2nd in receptions, 20th in air yards. I mean, that's not perfect, but it doesn't matter when he's scoring. Like, he's already got 4 touchdowns, already has over 500 yards. It's just nuts.
Yeah, let's talk about the air yards for a second. I mean, the 20th ranking is pretty misleading. I mean, it's only at that high because of the sheer number of targets that he's got. His air yards per target, which would, you know, boiling that down to a individual opportunity basis, he ranks 129th at the position.
So he's mean, not even Jarvis Landry.
Just yes. And now that's amongst every receiver who's gotten a target. So I mean, you know, that's also a little bit misleading. Yeah. We're not sorting out any of the chaff at all. But
yeah, that's true.
7.1, 7.1 air yards per target is hardly anything to write home about. But it's also, you know, his team target market share. You know, he's getting 29% of the targets in that Sean McVay offense. That's good for second among all wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And that's where he just absolutely stands out. Because when you compare him to his teammates like Robert Woods, like Brandon Cooks, you really start to see the difference. I mean, Woods has 47 targets right now, 31 receptions. Cooks, 34 targets. And between the two of them, they only have one receiving touchdown and compared to four for Cooper Kupp. So their usage, I mean, in and around the red zone apparently is not even as high as Cooper Kupp. So it's just, it seems like by every measure, he is the clear and far away wide receiver one on that team and should be considered so in Dynasty, just overall. I mean, he's in that conversation most definitely at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is coming at the expense of Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks getting just 15% of the targets in this Rams offense. He's been over 20% in previous years. You know, he's not played nearly the number of snaps, had the scary hit. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago and caused him to miss some time. So, I mean, you know, a little bit of noise in there as well. Still has, you know, the deeper role, 14.9 air yards per target. Not really doing much in the yak department, averaging 4 yards after the catch per reception. If you look at Brandon Cooks, you know, versus the rest of the league, 33rd in targets, but 11th in air yards. So this is kind of, you know, like the Mike Williams situation, except we've got not even just really the three targets in LA now. We've had, you know, a little bit of an emergence with Gerald Everett as well.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, other than Cooper Kupp, those other three are all valuable, but they're going to kind of take turns with their weeks. I would say that Brandon Cooks is definitely due. If you're gonna look at a guy who's 11th in air yards and does not have a touchdown yet, or does he have one?
Yeah,
what did we say?
Brandon Cooks has one. Woods has zero.
Yeah, he has one.
So absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so probably some regression to the pro side for each of those guys. Cooks does have three top 24 weeks at the position, so he is providing some value, but we just haven't really seen that big week from him to really make him feel like he's adding anything to your roster. 20 points is his ceiling. No wide receiver 1 week, 2 games under 7 PPR. So not the Cooks that, you know, we've really been used to the last several years.
Yeah, for sure. And what's crazy about him, he, like, when you compare him to his two teammates, I mean, Cooper Kupp is first in targets in the NFL for wide receivers. Robert Woods is actually fifth in targets among all wide receivers right now, just hasn't scored a touchdown. And you got to scroll way down the list, and then you find Brandon Cooks kind of tucked in there, not even that far ahead of, like you said, the emerging Gerald Everett. So I don't know what that says about his future, but I'm really, really concerned about Cooks' future. I know he had that run with a few different teams, over 1,000 yards. I know everyone likes to say it, moving around, and it's impressive what he was able to do, but it really looks like the team wants to funnel the targets to Woods and Kupp in a big way. And I am still buying into Woods. Woods was Mr. Consistent last year. Even when Cooper Kupp was still there, he was still pretty consistent. Had I can't remember how many. I think it was about a dozen weeks with a dozen points minimum PPR last season. So I like him to bounce back and find the end zone here soon. And if he's fifth in targets right now, I think that's a huge indicator that he still has a viable buy low window open for Woods. Are you all about that? Because I feel like he's the forgotten guy and has been on that offense despite his successes.
Yeah, he's pretty much always been the cheapest. And if you're kind of if you're somebody who's maybe you're 3-2 right now, or 2-3, you're off to a little bit of a slow start, but you think, you know, you ought to be able to make a run. He's always been the cheapest of those three receivers, and I think you can go get him. You should certainly be able to get him for less than a first, in my experience. I mean, I think a player and a second or a pair of seconds should be able to land you Robert Woods. His owner's likely frustrated. I mean, this is going to be a little bit league and team dependent. Of course, it depends on who owns him.
Yeah.
But just one wide receiver – 1 week and all the other weeks he's been, you know, outside the top 36 of the position. He ranks 169th, is this right, in fantasy points over expectation per game.
Dude, that, so that totally makes sense.
You call him a bounce back candidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you call him a bounce back candidate. Absolutely. I mean, he has the fifth most valuable role amongst wide receivers, fifth in expected points per game at the position. So, you know, I guess it's possible that they could grow tired of, you know, all of this opportunity being driven his way, not paying off. But he's been so valuable for them over the course of time. And you know, I think that's unlikely to happen. I mean, you know, it's basically a straw man suggestion. So I do like the idea of buying Robert Woods as a kind of a sneaky way to get back into your playoff race in a way that won't break your bank.
Definitely. And I mean, he's on pace for nearly 1,200 yards. So there are going to be some touchdowns that come along with that opportunity. So maybe he sees a slight dip in targets. I don't care. He's still going to beat out whatever price you want to put on him right now as far as market goes. So I don't know. He's always been somebody I've just appreciated because he even found a way to be the most successful Bills wide receiver outside of Sammy Watkins for like one hot second. So he's just found a way to stick on rosters and be successful and consistent for a long time now. So I'm all about buying Robert Woods, but Cooper Kupp, good luck, because his price is probably top 7-8 wide receiver in some people's minds at this point, especially if they're already owning him. So buying Cooper Kupp's probably out of the question, but Brandon Cooks, I'm seriously, seriously worried. So that's kind of where I am with the Rams. But before we kind of wrap up and talk about some of, you know, where we would rank these guys and where we'd rank these guys together, I just want to tell you guys again about Harry's Razors. We talked about them before on the show. Curtis and I both use them and appreciate them. But humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave hasn't changed much. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters, which are, you know, sharp, durable blades at a fair price. Like I said, I love Harry's because it gives me a close shave, easy glide, low price. Do us a favor and check out harrys.com/bluewire for your free trial today. And Harry's is a return to the essential quality durable blades at a fair price. It's just $2 per blade. And Harry's is just, I mean, on top of that, it's just super convenient. I mean, blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. And there's no risk to you for trying them out. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Listeners of this show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. So go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today.
All right, Travis, we talked a lot about the roles of the Buccaneers wide receivers, the role of Cooper Kupp, really emerging as a true alpha in the Los Angeles Rams offense. We've got to take on the very challenging task of ranking these guys in Dynasty now, because, you know, talking about their roles is one thing, but, you know, comparing them to some of these other receivers and the interpositional comparison, super important because it's going to inform trades and market tendencies moving forward. So I'm just going to start at the top with my preseason wide receiver rankings and read down through them at the position. And then you stop me when you want to insert Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, or Cooper Kupp, and you tell me who it's going to be. And then I'll let you know if I agree. So, and again, these are the preseason wide receiver positional ranks from myself over at RotoViz. Juju Smith-Schuster was my wide receiver 1. DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper. Want me to keep going?
I think right after that. Who's your next one?
After Amari Cooper, it was Julio.
Okay, yeah, right there. That's the spot.
And who are you gonna stick in there?
Oh man, this is gonna sound so ridiculous. I guess I'm sticking Cooper Kupp in there.
Yeah,
I don't even
I like
know.
It. Yeah,
I don't even know. It's just it feels dirty to say that. But I mean, I don't know who's after Julio, because I feel like I can't do that either.
Okay, after Julio were Mike Evans and Keenan Allen.
Okay, so yeah, Cooper Kupp's like right in there. Like if you can't put him over Julio because Julio's Julio. I think that that's right where that discussion begins. For me, I mean that.
Okay, so you've got him between wide receiver 8 and wide receiver 10 in Dynasty. That's where
I guess so. I mean, like right now, and unless we want to just throw out the first 5 weeks of the season and say that wasn't real, and so I really can't do that. Do I think he's going to have 200 targets this year? I don't know if he's going to have 200 targets this year because he's on pace for 201 targets right now. But that kind of workload and opportunity, that's a wide receiver 1 in Dynasty. And he's not exactly super old. People joked about his age when he came into the league, but he's not super old yet. So I think you have to have him in that tier. So I guess is Cooper Kupp the one you would insert and be in that tier right there for you?
Yeah, because I think you look at the dependability of the role and the confidence in the offense. I'm still going to trust the Rams offense a little bit more than the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers have been a fun story and they've been super aggressive, but I've got a larger sample size from Sean McVay to believe that, you know, we're not going to have a roller coaster ride there. And we saw, I mean, the thing with Cooper Kupp here too is before he went down last year, he was on a torrid pace just like this. And it's a little bit easy to forget because, you know, we didn't have him the whole second half of the season. But he was absolutely on fire to begin the 2018 season as well. So I actually would put him right there as well. But I would actually have like a little tier break there with him kind of clearly above Julio. And it's because, you know, in Dynasty, we are playing a long game. But at the same time, you know, you're trying to win this year. And I have no problem with people jostling players up and down within a tier if it's going to bring home the title in whatever year you're playing. I mean, for you to say that, you know, you prefer Cooper Kupp to Mike Evans 3 or 4 months ago would have been a fairly absurd take to probably most Dynasty rankers. But I don't think you'd find many people who would take Mike Evans over Cooper Kupp for the rest of this season.
No.
You know, they're similar ages. And right now we have a pretty clear indication that Cooper Kupp's the alpha in that offense. And we don't know if Mike Evans is. He's certainly not being treated like he is in his. So I've no problem with it. I actually am going to put Cooper Kupp at my wide receiver 8. And that I think maybe what sounds even crazier is that puts him 13 overall. So I have him at like Dynasty Startup 201. That would be, of course, in like a, you know, start 2 back, start 3 wide receiver type situation, you know, very traditional, you know, vanilla PPR dynasty setup. So sounds like you're right there with me in that 8 to 10 range.
It just feels so wrong, but you kind of have to. I mean, he's got like 50% more targets than Julio. I mean, I think you probably prefer Kupp down the stretch this year, which is just seems crazy to 5 weeks ago, Travis. But right now, Travis is saying, no, I'm bought in. I'm here for this. So I think the question is who comes next out of the wide receivers we've been talking about. Are you still in the Mike Evans over Chris Godwin camp, or are you putting him up in this tier, in this range as well?
I have a tier right now that's built. That is actually Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin is the tier. And I'm trying to figure out how I want to order them. The argument I made just a few minutes ago was if you're going for it this year, you know, that's got to matter. and this is hypocritical, but I'm struggling with actually putting Godwin above Evans because of the length of the track record there. But I think Chris Godwin's going to outscore Mike Evans. I think he's going to do that based on what the roles have been. And he's actually been more consistent than Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's had a couple flops, and we've just inserted Melvin Gordon back into that situation. I think I'm going to rank Chris Godwin above Mike Evans. However, they're still in the same tier. And so, you know, I'm not going to pay appreciably more for one or the other. I still agree with your take that Mike Evans is a buy target based off of what we've seen this year, and I'm not hitting the panic button on him. But I think this is a signal to myself that, you know, Chris Godwin's basically a fringe wide receiver 1, you know, high-end wide receiver 2 in Dynasty right now with the role that he has.
And I don't think you can really argue with that. I think this year it does kind of fix itself. I think that the 47% catch rate for Mike Evans is going to go up. I think this almost 80% catch rate for Chris Godwin is going to go down. I think the touchdown rate for Chris Godwin hovering near 20% is going to go down. And I think that Evans is going to go up. I think they're going to kind of meet it in the middle, but I think in the end, Evans is going to beat him out this year. But I think it's like kind of comparing back, I don't know, back in the day, like Roddy White and Julio Jones. Like, that was just a ridiculous tandem. I mean, I know Evans isn't like that old because Roddy was much older than Julio, but it reminds me of that kind of situation where I feel like this duo is just going to dominate for the next 3 years. And I don't really care which one I have, because they're both going to be in that wide receiver 14 or better range for the foreseeable future, regardless of the talent at quarterback, apparently. I like them both, but I think I still lean Mike Evans barely, but they're right there in the tier with Keenan actually also as well. So I think we're kind of on the same page. Who else would you even consider adding in that tier if you were going to put anyone else up there that you might have just below as of today?
It's really, you know, DJ Moore would be maybe in that conversation. He hasn't really disappointed this year. I think he's just outside the top 24 wide receivers, despite not having Cam Newton for the last 4 weeks. And I think he's going to do what we predicted that he would do and finish in the top 24 as long as he gets Cam back. And actually starting to show a little bit of rapport with Kyle Allen at this point anyway. Julio still has to, I think, be in the discussion there. Though he's really more of just a win now asset, clearly a declining asset at this point. And then I think he's just before the year, we still maybe thought there was unlocked ceiling. Now he's feeling a little bit more like a season long, like year end in review floor play in Brandon Cooks, but the weekly floor hasn't shown itself to be there. I'm going to be a little bit more patient with him because, you know, again, he's been so consistent over his career and has so many of those high-end wide receiver two seasons under his belt. Let's see if he can get fully healthy, check back in a month. I'm going to leave him at the end of this tier out of respect for what he's done and his elite pedigree, his elite athleticism, and his track record of production. But he could find himself getting bumped down to a tier just slightly below that would have people like Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, who's sliding in my rankings, Kenny Galladay, into a tier with some of those guys. So that's kind of where I've got these wide receivers at this point.
Okay. I like it. Well, I'm glad we tackled this. This was something that I've been struggling with in Dynasty, what to do with all these guys. I have a few of them on my rosters. I've got a lot of Godwin, just trying to engage really how to value him, because people are still pitching me offers and things. It's hard to avoid, you know, just overvaluing players on your own roster. But hopefully this was helpful in kind of engaging these two specific receiving rooms and some other, you know, top options as well, and where they kind of fit in together in current dynasty rankings. But I can't believe, you know, we're about, you know, halfway through the season. I'm speaking in college football terms, but about halfway through the college football season and coming up on halfway through the NFL season already. Next week, we'll probably attack some rest of season takes as well. So look forward to that show. Come in, hop in our Slack, the DCC Slack. It's been a great community. It's in full swing. So check that out at DynastyCommandCenter.com. You can find Curtis on Twitter at CPatrickNFL. I'm Travis May at FF_TravisM. And thanks again for joining us for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. Until next time, keep living that dynasty life.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.